Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
I am not too shabby. And those of you watching the video podcast, you will notice that we have a special guest this week. Joining us for the first time in a very long time, we have Mr. Lou Page, the busy zombie lord. How the heck are you, dude?
Tired. It's been a long, long week.
Oh, and why has it been such a long week for you?
I just got back from PAX East.
Hooray! In Boston. So. Which is why we have Lou on the episode this week. He is going to tell us all the PAX things.
Oh, what I experienced, because there was a lot I missed.
I heard it was pretty big this year.
One of the cooks in the kitchen told me that there was something like 80,000 people there.
Wow, 80,000.
That is a hell of a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. He was taking photos of the crowd, and I was like, aren't you supposed to be working? He's like, it never gets that big. This convention center, we do car shows, we do boat shows, and maybe 20,000 people. Maybe. He goes, wow. Security guard just told me they were going to start closing the doors.
Surprised they didn't call the fire marshal in.
They were wandering the halls.
Oh. Well,
really?
Yeah. Huh. And they were counting heads and making sure that there was the correct amount of people in the rooms or they were going to shut down rooms.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Serious.
They really mean business.
Yes, they do. The first year that PAX East happened, they put it in what's called the Heinz Center. And the Heinz Center is about half the size of where they have it now. And they actually did have to shut down portions of the building and make people leave because they broke fire records, fire regulations.
Records. Could you imagine? It's like, hey, we hit a new record. Everyone the hell out.
Yeah.
That sounds good. But like, aren't all PAXI this busy? Like,
Yeah. This one sold out though in record time. It was the 3-day badges sold out in 5 minutes.
Wow. Jeez.
And
that is BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Or I guess as good as BlizzCon, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the single day badges, the Sunday ones hung around for basically the entire day, but the Saturday and Friday ones were sold out in like an hour and a half.
Hmm. Wow. That's great. Now, how did you get your hands? You got a 3-day pass, or did you just get a?
No, I had to buy a single day individuals for every day.
Ah. Well, at least you got to go.
The good thing is, though, is there's only like a $30 price difference. Mm-hmm. It's like an extra $10 for each day rather than getting the 3-day pass. So it wasn't like I had to dish out like an extra like $80 or anything like that.
It's not too bad. And you had a good time, though, even though it was busy.
Oh, I love it. I was disappointed because I did go last year. But I only went for a single day. A friend of mine had an extra pass, and she was in cosplay. So I basically carried her gear around all day and followed her around. Mm-hmm. So I got to go, but I didn't really get to see much of anything. So this year was not that at all.
It's good. Good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Did you get a chance to play anything this week, Lou? Or were you just pretty much PAXing and that's it?
The only thing I have had a chance to play is I am now writing for Indie Love.
Ooh, and congratulations. That's
thank
new
you.
Since the last time I talked to you.
Yes. That just started a couple weeks ago. I am in the process of reviewing a game called Tormentum, The Dark Sorrow.
Sounds pleasant.
It's not at all.
I kind of want to go there. Can I get a 3-day weekend pass or something? Or
my experience with it is... it's a really dreary place. It's kind of like it's a point-and-click adventure game in the style and vein of H.R. Giger. So everything is really weird and creepy, and there's not a whole lot of plot. It's really kind of like solving puzzles and wandering through really weird environments. It's interesting, but I'm not loving it.
Everything looks like it's made of human flesh. I'm just looking at the Steam page here, and it's like, it's gnarly, dude. That's not...
It's very gnarly and graphic, and I've had to walk away a couple times because the puzzles are a little annoying and not challenging.
Huh. Well,
it's like you need to find a key. Well, I have 5 keys in my inventory. Why don't any of them work? No. You need to get the key from this guy that you need to solve 5 other puzzles to get to the key so that you can go back to this thing and click on this thing that you missed.
Right. Is there anything saying, like, is there, like, blue keys and red keys or bronze and gold? It's just they're all keys?
No, at one point someone gave me a key that is also a dagger. And I'm like, so am I supposed to stab somebody with it or unlock a door?
Both.
Yeah, according to the plot, apparently I am. But I don't know why.
It's quite a multi-use key.
And I don't know
key.
Who I'm supposed to. Yeah.
So a point-and-click adventure. I can kind of understand why James gave you this one, because he really hates these things.
It's kind of my genre, but even this one is kind of making me go, I like the environments. It's kind of interesting, but it's I'm not in love with it.
Right. You'd have to be, you know what? Yeah. The art, we'll say this, just looking at the art, it does look very like it's hitting the mark it wants to hit. I hesitate to call it beautiful, because it's certainly not. It's not beautiful. But in a good way. It's what it's aiming to do is what it's doing. So it's very creepy. I don't know if I'd want to go to this museum and see the art. Like, there's this worm with teeth. What is this?
Oh, you saw the worm thing? I saw that too, and I was like, interesting.
It was a Kickstarter to begin with, so people did donate to get this game made. So
that's how they weed the sickos out on the internet. No, I'm kidding. They did hit their goal. Yeah, it's Indiegogo funded from last year. But you know what? Yep. Like, good on them. This is the day and age where you can truly play a game about anything. If you want to play a game about flesh trains, this is it. You got
it.
Ew.
Yeah, gross, eh? Welcome to Tormentum, folks.
Welcome to the flesh train.
Oh, that's not the same thing.
Oh, God. What about you, Ryan? What have you been playing this week?
Well, I have 3 options, so I'll let you two pick one, because I'm looking down the notes here. A lot of games that Lou played, and I want to get a chance to talk about as many as we can, a.k.a. the top 5.
Cool.
I've got the conclusion to Grey Goo, which includes the goo race and how that works, which is interesting.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'm like, this looks exactly the same as last week's notes.
It is, but 2/3 of it we didn't get a chance because we were very busy last week as well. So the other one is called Sunburn, which is sort of a suicide pact in space, semi kind of like Mario Galaxy, where you have to gather your crew and send them into the sun at the same time to win.
This is right up there with your Nazi game, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I try to keep a theme. And then completely opposite side of the room, we have Alto's Adventure, which is an iOS title, and where it's a sort of like a ski safari where you try to get as far as you can, an endless skier. And it's the art and music is beautiful.
Let's hear about Alto's Adventure, because I think we could use a bit of a pick-me-up, and you didn't get to talk about it last week. So tell us about Alto's Adventure on iOS.
So Alto's Adventure is the perfect example of how to make a great iOS game. You make it cross-compatible. There's a proper term for it, where you can play it on iPhone and iPad. It's, anyways, you can play it on iPhone.
Oh, it's universal.
Yes, it's a universal app. Perfect, thank you. And it's, I think it's $3 or $4, no in-app purchases, no ads, cross-save. So if you're playing on your iPad, this is what I like to do. I like to play on my iPad at home when I have it in my hands, and I like to play on my iPhone while I'm away from the house. And it syncs. I've had no problems. It's perfect. The art style and music, for that matter, I would describe along the same lines as Journey. I don't know if you guys remember Journey from a few years back.
Absolutely, we do.
Yes.
Fantastic title. And this one looks along those veins. It's very beautiful. And the whole point of the game is to ski down a slope. You're in the Alps or something, I don't know. And you're trying to find your escaped llamas. Your herd of llamas has escaped. You seem to have a lot of llamas to fit into that one farm.
How does one happen to lose an entire herd of llamas?
Well, they set it up at the beginning where I think there's like a thunderstorm or something and they all run away.
Okay.
But yeah, your whole point of your game is to get down the hill as fast as possible and get all these llamas. It's an endless runner, so there's no end until you like snow face plant or fall to your doom. But it's just a lot of fun. It's a great zone out game, and there's just the way it progresses is you are given a set of three challenges, and it's like do two backflips, catch a llama while surfing in the air. You know, it's just. It's just a lot of fun, and it's a total zone-out type game, and like I said, it's the perfect iOS title because it's got all the checkboxes, all the right things to make it feel like you're not being hosed, right? It's like, oh, I have to pay 99 cents to, you know, get an extra life or wait 20 minutes? That's bullcrap. But no, Alto's Adventure is fantastic.
I have one question for you, Ryan.
Shoot, what's up?
Was part of their marketing campaign to help those llamas escape in Texas and cause all kinds of news controversy?
I don't know, but you'd be damn sure that they were super stoked about that. This is our chance,
guys. As soon
guys.
As you said llamas, my mind went, wait, didn't some escape from a zoo in Texas or something last week?
Wait, what? I didn't hear that at all.
Oh, there was llamas all over the freeway in L.A. or something, I think.
L.A. is not in Texas.
Oh, was it Texas? I don't know.
I think it was Texas. It was someplace
Ryan
down south.
Ryan does America.
I don't know. Where do they keep llamas? L.A., Texas. It was a 50-50 chance, people. You went with Texas. I went with the L.A. But it's just – it's so great a game. And, like, it's got a day-night cycle. There's a weather system. So it's not just – you're not just seeing, like, a plain old, like, sunny day on the Alps. You're seeing lots of really distinct environments. And it's just a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
For me this week, the only thing I've really been doing outside of Hearthstone is I had a really crappy weekend last week, and then I had a really crappy week at work, and then so today I got home and I'm like, you know what? I just need to wreck some people. So I'm going to PvP. So I spent about 4 hours PvPing today. In Ashran, and I am now 10 Night Elves away. I killed over 140 Night Elves this afternoon, and so I'm now 10 Night Elves away from getting my achievement and my title, and then I can move on to a different race. So I'm super excited. I'm totally going to finish it tonight and then start on somebody. I don't know who. Probably, I'll say humans. Dwarves are going to be hard. Nobody plays dwarves, dude.
Really?
Like, none. I've seen like a couple of dwarf hunters, but that's it. I'd have to kill the same dude 500 times.
So are you just like, are you just in an Ashran or whatever and like you got your Terminator vision on, you're scrolling by, it's like, oh, there's an elf. No way, it's a blood elf. Let's keep moving. And then
I actually
like Terminator.
It's kind of like that. I have an add-on called Ashran Buddy, and it will actually read what nemesis quest you're on, and it puts a big target over all the night elves. So I know exactly which ones to target.
So you are a Terminator.
I am. So I have healers have to die as an add-on. So it puts a big, like, red cross above all the healers. So I kill them first. And then there's, like, targets over the Night Elves. And I kill them second. And if there's anyone left standing, then I wreck them too. And I got part of this really, really good raid group this afternoon. And we were rolling over the Alliance for, like, 3 hours. It's great.
Nice. Well, the Alliance, that's what they're there for, just to be rolled over, right?
Exactly. But then a lot of the good people left, and then some not-so-good people came in, and nobody was paying attention to me in raid chat. I'm like, okay, everybody, we need to stack up over here, and then we need to move here, and then we need to do this. And, like, everyone is scattered all over the place. I'm like, all right, I'm out. I have the gamers in 15 minutes anyways. But I was, like, being so nice about it, though. I was just like, I know how intimidating it is, or was, for me to PvP. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to be really, really nice to be like, hey, guys, I think we should do this, and then we should move here, and then we was blah, 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 blah. I was so nice about it. And then at the end, I was like, I got maybe like a quarter of our raid group into the place where they were supposed to be, and then the Alliance came over the hill, killed us all, and I was just like, okay, guys, I'm out. I got to go. You're on your own.
That sounds, so you think humans are next? Like, humans, obviously, I understand, like, the hierarchy here. Like, Night Elves, yes, sexy race, definitely the highest that people are playing, kill all the Night Elves. And then you got humans, you know, they don't got tails, but they're, you know, they also aren't purple. So there's the second, and you can kill them, a bunch of people playing humans. So is next, like, Draenei, or, like gnomes, I think, would be much worse than dwarves.
I think gnomes and dwarves are probably the worst. Mm-hmm. Then I would say probably Pandarans. There's not a lot of pandas anymore.
Right. Oh, so you have to kill Pandarans too?
Yes, and okay, and this is going to make me sound so, like, serial killer-esque, but it's really, really cool when you kill members of the other race, or, uh-huh. like, of the of Alliance. Whatever race you kill, when you loot them, you have a chance to loot something from them. So, for instance, the first thing I ever looted was a severed night elf head. And then it has a really funny little tooltip, and it's like, oh, it would be a great Christmas, or was it Wintervale tree topper?
Right. Like, that smell amazing. After a while, though, like, spray it down maybe for a, yeah.
Yeah, and so one of the things that that you can actually loot is off the Pandarans, and it's their hide. So it's like you skin the panda.
This is really graphic.
Like, I know. There's like, for humans, it's a human bone chip. I'm trying to think of what other ones I've seen. Oh, a dwarven spine. Like, it's pretty graphic.
Is this trophy. Mortal Kombat? Like,
I was gonna say, when did WoW get this gory?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that for the Draenei, it's their tail or something like that.
That wells, yeah. It's like a trophy, right? Just cut yep. the tails off, sell them on the black market. You know, profit. Like,
oh man, sense. But yeah. So I'm having a really good time. I'm almost done Night Elves, and the thing is, to get my Warlord title, I need to kill 500 of every race. So it doesn't really matter what I do first, last, you know, whatever. But I think what I might do is try to do the most popular races first, just in right. case I don't actually end up doing it. Because what I should have done is picked up gnomes and then dwarves right at the very start when everyone was doing Ashran, because people have started to kind of move away from it. So you see the same names over and over again. So I probably should have done the harder races right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, lessons learned. So I think what I'm going to do now is just do the most popular races. So that then as I move down through them, like, I'll have the better chance to get more titles. I don't know if I'll be able to get my Warlord title anymore. So we'll have to see. But I'm having a really, 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 really great time in Ashran. I always have.
As long as you're having fun.
Oh, man, I have so much fun.
It's no legendary grind, but hey, as long as it's fun, right?
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing this week is almost getting my achievement and my title for killing all those night elves, and then I can light a new effigy on fire in my garrison. But
what? Wait, go back. What are you lighting on fire? This is
okay. So are you, like, you have to have a level 3 gladiator sanctum in your garrison in order to get these nemesis quests. And the way that you choose what race you're going to be targeting, you have to walk up. There's like little effigies all around the gladiator sanctum, and you have to walk up to it and light it on fire. And then it's just constantly burning while you're on the quest.
Okay, wait. So
I don't know what happens. This is my first time that I'm going to finish one. So I don't actually know what happens when you finish it, but I wonder if it's just like a pile of ash, or if right. it's just like standing there all black, or I want to know what happens.
Yeah. Well, hey, curiosity made you kill the cat. I was going to say something different, but you know, one of our good friends, Josh, plays Alliance, and he says he plays a night elf, and I could just picture him just standing in an open field, what once was filled with frolicking night elves, just turns to the camera, his selfie camera probably. And a single tear just goes down his face. And then he tweets something, hashtag sad face or something. But I really feel like like everybody's a little upset that you're burning effigies. Like, not only are you killing these people, you're like doing the evil dance and lighting things on fire. Your garrison sounds like a very evil place.
My garrison's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it's like, you must be...
Because I'm Horde already, so the Horde garrison just is all, like, spikes and iron and horns and leather and really, like, visceral, angry type stuff. It's all orcish, right? And then you throw the gladiator sanctum in, there's bones and skulls everywhere. I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. Like, you see a lot of the stuff that... game journalists go after in this industry, they are missing a gold mine here. I mean, you've got like killing specific races, burning effigies, like putting people's skulls on spikes. Like, I know it's fantasy, but
I'm wondering why I haven't seen an article about this yet.
Now, that being said, I remember there was an article back when, I think it was either Burning Crusade or Lich King came out. There was a quest where you, like, tortured somebody, and that was a big to-do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you remember that?
I don't remember it because I wasn't playing it at the time, but I remember they talked about it on the instance within the last few months because they were just talking about morality in quest lines and how... It was the Dark Portal before Warlords opened, and you had to, like, poison the food of the ogres or something.
Right.
And the one guy, he was Alliance, and he was a human priest or something like that. And he just felt like it was morally wrong, so he didn't do the whole quest to get the piece of gear before the Dark Portal opened and wanted to know what the thoughts of the guys on the show were. And then they mentioned the whole torture quest thing that you had to do. And I think it was in Burning Crusade. Oh, no, sorry. It was Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah.
Chat room is telling me it's the Death Knight starting zone. Which, yeah, I remember now. Now that I did actually do that quest, because I have a Death Knight, so I did do that. But I just don't... don't remember. Obviously, it wasn't that impactful.
Yeah,
I sound like a terrible person. Oh, I don't even remember torturing dudes. Oh, I light effigies all the time. Kill all night elves.
To be honest, I'm just getting you back for the massive chalice conversation we had a couple episodes ago. So I feel like we're even. We're both terrible people now.
Yeah.
Lou, you are our golden compass.
Yeah. I hate to tell you, but no.
Oh, right. You started with Tormento. Never mind. We're all bad people. It's all good. Sorry, folks.
So on that note, I'm going to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig, so head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is why we have Lou here, and that is PAX East. So Lou, you got your hands on a whole crap load of games, what is this, like 15 games you put in the notes here?
I put 15 games in the notes, and that's not even everything I played.
Whoa. Just picture the Flash going from one kiosk to the next.
You have to remember, it is a three-day convention. They open the doors to the convention at 10 a.m., and the expo hall where you can get your hands on all these games closes at 6. So I had 9 hours on the floor with these games every day for 3 days. And I was willing to wait in line.
Right. Now, you mentioned the lines.
These are all they're indie titles mostly,
are all indie. Indie stuff, it's usually like maybe there's 5 people in front of you and you get your hands on something.
That's not too bad then.
They did. There were major publishers. Nintendo was there showing off their new Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario game.
Like you did.
And Blizzard was there showing off the Overwatch. But it was a 2.5 hour line to play it. And I went, you know what? I think I'm gonna wait.
I like Overwatch, I think, probably more so even than I like Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm is probably my least favorite Blizzard title. I know, I'm going to get jumped on in 2 minutes in the chat room when it catches up, but...
You can rank five, you're ranking 5 games right now, and if it's the bottom of 5, that's not a big deal.
I'm not a huge fan of the top-down view, although I love StarCraft 2. Like, StarCraft 2, I could play that like crazy, but for whatever reason, I think Smite has ruined me for traditional type MOBAs. Like, I love that view so much. And so in Overwatch, you get that third person view when you're playing. And it just, like, I had a lot of fun in Overwatch, but when I played at BlizzCon, everyone else had already kind of had a chance to go because I played it right at the end of the weekend. So you had the people that were just like lining up and lining up and lining up and learning the game. Like, I mean, we got absolutely wrecked because my whole team, we went in as a big group. I think, 6 of us, I think. 5 or 6, I can't remember. No, 6. So we went in as a group of 6. We were all on the same team. It was our first time touching it, and we just got destroyed. And I was like, well, I can see how maybe this would be fun. But it wouldn't be, because the match was only like, and I guess it would have been longer if we didn't suck, but I think we only played for probably like 10 minutes, maybe 15. Because like you get to play... on offense once and then defense once, and then that's it. So however long your match lasts is how long your game time lasts. And I would not wait 3 hours or 2.5 hours to go and play 10 minutes of Overwatch. It's really cool, and I'm looking forward to when it comes out and I can actually sit and play it at home, but I don't think I'd line up for it.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing, is I was like, oh, I've seen all kinds of stuff and it'd be great to get my hands on, but I know that it's going to come out in beta probably in the next month or two. So why would I, when there's all these other games around me, why waste my time? But the first game that I want to talk about that I saw, I heard about all weekend. All weekend, anytime I was in a line or I was waiting for somebody, something, or I was talking to somebody, someone would go, have you played 12 minutes yet? And I went, no. They'd go, no, it's in the middle of the indie area. It's the hardest booth to get to. It's not even a booth. It was literally a screen and a keyboard and mouse. And they're like, you need to play it. And I was like, what's so special about it? They're like, it's too hard to explain. Just go play it. And so...
So he didn't play it.
No, I was... Oh, it was hard to get to. So finally on Sunday, I made my way over to the booth, managed to squeeze in and get my hands on it. And it is a point-and-click adventure game. Mm-hmm. But it is like Groundhog Day, the point-and-click adventure game. The entire game takes place over the duration of 12 minutes. You're a guy... He gets off an elevator to go into his apartment. You go into the apartment. Your wife is getting out of the shower. She says, dinner's almost ready. Get ready for dinner. And so you can make the table, look around the apartment, explore the rooms of the apartment. It's not very big. It's about maybe 5 or 6 rooms.
Sure.
And then she goes, okay, it's time to eat. You have a dialogue conversation, and there's a lot of dialogue choices. Where you get to choose how you want to answer questions and stuff. And then at the end of 12 minutes, the only thing I knew is the gentleman showing it off, who is also the creator. His name was Luis Antonio. Mm-hmm. He said, in 12 minutes, something bad's going to happen. And I went, okay. In 12 minutes, there's a knock at the door. And you answer the door, and a police officer comes in and accuses your wife of murdering somebody. And great. Depending on how you react to it, the cop either hits you over the head, arrests you too, or shoots you. And then the screen goes black. And there's like a really staticky, like it takes you out of the game. Like you have to like clench your ears. It's so loud. And then your character wakes up and he's in the hallway again. And it's the 12 minutes beforehand. And now you know what's going to happen. And now you know what she's going to be accused of. And then you have to go back into the room and you learn something because you've learned something new. The dialogue has changed.
Right, because you're aware. It's like Groundhog's Day where he wakes up. It's like, what's happening? It's the same crappy song playing over the radio type business. And this game, I just heard about it before we started recording. And this is a game like right up my alley. It's a guy that's helping with The Witness.
This is his side project.
Guy. Yeah. Expected in summer, I think he said summer 2016, judging by his website. It looks really basic, but it looks really cool. I'm curious.
It's not gorgeous. It is not pretty, but that's not the point. The point is he's trying to tell a really interesting story with very minimal information.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not repetitive. I played it for enough time that I went through once the first time, then a second time, and I started a third time before I gave it up and let somebody else play.
Yeah. See, these are the type of games that I like really like to see come out of PAX, because these are the games we're going to be playing like a year from now, similar along the lines of the indie darlings that we've been playing this year. You know, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but...
Don't Starve.
Don't Starve. Yeah, that's the one that made it big.
Don't Starve was there. They're there every year.
Oh, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? They made that game. Like, it's like that game is its success is thanks to the many fans. And this one seems like it'll be one of those experiments that turns into a big game. You know what kind of sounds like a less funny version of the Stanley Parable? You know? Like, no murdering, but there's still, like, this dark, repetitive system happening. Again, probably not as funny, but, you know, can you die in the game, or does it just keep repeating?
As soon as you die, you get this the staticky noise and it resets itself again.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
It was very unique, and you don't know how much time has passed. There is a clock on the wall that it constantly lets you click on, and it, every time you click on it, it zooms in and kind of gives you a vibe of, okay, you started here. This is how many minutes you've got left.
Hmm.
Interesting. I look forward to checking that game out. I hope they have more on it soon, because I don't know if I want to – I don't know, a year. That seems like a long time, but I guess he's making it on the side. We are getting The Witness this year, though, I think, so yes. That'll be good. Maybe once that's out, he can focus on that. But what else did you see?
So last year when I was there for only a day, mm-hmm. I did see a game called Dragonfin Soup. It was only a video trailer, and there was a Kickstarter, and they wanted to show more, but they really didn't get a chance to. Nothing was playable. This year they had their own booth, nice. And they had it set up so that you could play it two versions on PC, two versions on Vita, and a PlayStation 4 version on a TV.
This game looks... The art style for this game, guys, it's like... The promotional stuff is, like, true to heart, like, concept art.
Yeah.
And then you look at the actual game, and I guess it's modeled to look like a Super NES game. Like, a, I guess a... You know how we get the pixel art that would be, like, what Atari games... Is it based on Atari games, but it looks so good. And then you have the NES titles. This is kind of what I would think if you took a Super NES game and really, like, bumped it up a notch. It kind of looks like Bastion, just looking at screenshots.
That was kind of what the developer's goal was, is to kind of look like Bastion. Hmm. And it's very unique. It's like a grim fairy tale where you're the hero who is basically... Her name is Robin, but she's supposed to be like Little Red Riding Hood with a shotgun and a drinking problem.
That sounds like a great...
I love it.
That sounds
and
awesome.
And you literally heal yourself by like drinking beer and alcohol and killing monsters for their pelts.
Perfect.
This game looks so rad. When is it coming out?
It is coming out in the next... within the next 6 months. They don't have an actual nailed down date yet, but it is coming to all consoles except Xbox, I think.
Wow, geez, that's not
that
nice.
It's like it's a cross between Zelda and a roguelike. When you begin the game, the entire world is generated when you begin,
mm-hmm.
and your goals and some of your quests are all generated then as well. You are the same character, and there are plot points, but everything else changes.
Neat.
And it's like Diablo, Zelda, and a roguelike all mixed together. And it's very turn-based.
Yeah, like they're actually aiming for tablets as well. It looks like iPhone and Android is something they're looking at.
But they did not have any of those playable, unfortunately. I did play it with both a controller and a keyboard and mouse, and both were very seamless.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So,
this looks like something that I would really want to pick up on the PS4, because I think my problem with the PS4 is that like when I want to sit and game, usually I'm at my computer, and then when I go out into my living room, I want to just chill and relax. And I think I need something that's a little bit simpler for out there, because right now I've got The Order and I've picked it up a couple of times and, you know, I've kind of played through, but usually I just want to like sit and chill and relax when I'm out in the living room. So I feel like this is the kind of thing that I could just sit and chill, and it's very, well, I mean, it is a mobile title, right? So
yes.
It's the sort of thing that I could just sit down and play through, and it's not too demanding of me. And then, like, I really think that this would be really cool. I mean, it reminds me of like, and I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it reminds me, I guess, of like the difficulty level or the intensity of like Fat Princess, which I loved. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah, my goal is to grab it from my Vita. I'm looking for something that I can quickly play and put down. And as soon as I got my hands on the Vita version, I was like, okay, I'm sold. I'm done.
Nice.
Where can I buy this? And it was like, yeah, you got to wait. I'm like,
It looks so cool. And like, yeah, and they look like they're right up. They're doing a great job at supporting the game. Like their website has lots of information, lots of videos. It's not like the typical, well, like you look at the last game we talked about, 12 minutes. It's very early, that game, mind you, and this is a lot farther on. But if you're looking for information on this game, you want to get psyched.
This was a lot further along. They hired professional cosplayers to dress up as the character at their booth.
I see that. Their Facebook page is littered with scantily clad women, and
yeah.
You know, that's a thing. But it looks like, according to their Kickstarter, they were, when they did launch it, they were aiming for an April release. So if they release in the next 6 months, that's also very good for a game that got Kickstarted, because most titles that get Kickstarted are like months off target. I mean, just look at Republic and Double Fine's Gaming Adventure, two games I backed, still don't have the final product.
If their demo was any sign of what the finished product is going to be like, then they are very close to release, because it didn't feel like a demo. It felt like a done game.
Oh, very cool. You can actually back it. They have the Slacker backer option. So for $15 and or $5 and up, you can get into the game. And yeah, that looks really cool. I'm going to check that out.
So speaking of Zelda.
Yes.
The next game I played was a game called Enter the Gungeon. It is by Devolver Digital. Or at least they have the publisher, I believe. And it is like Zelda with guns.
Right. So Nintendo's dream, right?
Yeah. It's very like, it's like Link to the Past with guns and a dodge roll. And you wander through these dungeons trying to basically fight monsters. And you have a limited amount of bullets. And you just spray bullets. You flip tables to use them as like cover, so that you can shoot around stuff. And then certain creatures will grab the tables and slam you against the walls if they get a chance. You have to use your dodge roll to jump over pits. Bullets are flying everywhere. It's crazy. And it even has like the hit point meter, kind of like Zelda, where you have like two or three hearts and you pick up new guns. It was crazy.
This game looks intense.
It's very intense. But they start you out nice and slow.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah, and it was like...
crazy.
I know.
Yeah, I made it... You go into the first room and there's like three guys and you shoot them and you're like, oh, that's easy. And then you wander through the dungeon and the doors unlock basically as you kill more monsters. You cannot go into the next room until you've killed a monster.
Mm-hmm.
All the monsters. And I went to the next room and I was like, oh, this one's a little harder. And then about five rooms in, they're like, oh, by the way, here's a boss. And I really didn't know what I was doing, and I realized that I was out of ammo. And I was like, well, I think I'm done. And then I got smashed.
When are they hoping to release this bad boy?
This is coming in April.
Really? Oh. Next month?
It is like April 16th or something like that, or April 19th.
They're totally pulling a Hearthstone.
Yeah,
here's this awesome thing, and it's coming next month.
Yep, that was what the guy told me, was that like they haven't really shown this very many places. I think they may have shown it at PAX Prime, but they've been really hush-hush about it. They didn't want to show anything until it was close to completion. So,
looks like a
lot
of fun.
That's very cool. I like that. I don't like being like, here's this super awesome, amazing thing. Here's a little bit of gameplay, and then you can expect it in 2017. Yeah. Damn it! Yeah.
That's the issues with... Well, it's... Sorry, I guess it's not an issue, but that's just how it works with indies, right? Like, they go to these shows to show
not
off their product.
Not even indies. Triple A's are the same.
Triple A's are
Zelda!
Worse.
5 years from now.
Yeah. They've actually been doing a lot better. I remember the first trailer I saw for Twilight Princess. I was like still in high school, and it's like, yeah, a GameCube Zelda. We're gonna get two Zeldas on one console again. And what was it? 5-6 years later, it's like,
something
guess
like
what, guys?
That.
Wii and GameCube, it's happening. And
yeah,
but with indie titles, I find it's a little easier to swallow, because you're like, oh, it's just one or two dudes making it. The game looks fantastic. I guess I'll just wait. There's no, unless I give them enough money to hire another person, like it's not going to come out any faster. But yeah, it is actually nice to see indies like this and be like, guess what? It's not coming out 6 years from now. We're not waiting for Kickstarter money. It's just going to happen. So that's really cool. So what did you play next?
I was going to say, so I got a question. Are any of you familiar with the old regular Nintendo game Blaster Master, or the old bullet hell shooter Gradius?
No.
Not even a little.
Okay. Because the next game is kind of a blend of both.
Sweet. Those are my favorite games.
I'm sure listening is going, yes, yes, oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's called Rive. It is by Two Tribes Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin the game, and it's like a side-scrolling 2D spaceship game where you're in an asteroid belt and you're shooting asteroids as the game continues to push you left, and you have a directional, it's like you push the analog stick in a different direction and you just shoot guns. So you're shooting these incoming asteroids. All of a sudden, there's like satellites that show up that start shooting missiles at you. You take them out, and there's kind of like a rough dialogue, and it's like you're looking for this the space station that's hidden in an asteroid belt. I really wasn't paying much attention to the plot. And I was like, okay, so it's a starship shooter. About maybe a minute or 2 minutes into the shooting, you find the space station. You crash through a wall, and you become a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And the game changes. You're a tank. You run around as this tank, shooting at stuff in all directions. Things are coming out of every hole in the sky, and you're blowing up stuff, and you're wandering through corridors of like a space station. And next thing you know, you fall down a chute. You land in what looks like it's like the coolant system for the space station.
Sure.
And your tank becomes a submarine, and there's a submarine section of the game.
So and it's I was just like nonstop.
It was like nonstop. Things are coming out of every corner of this map. You're blowing stuff up, and then afterwards, it introduces you to a new mechanic. You can hack your enemies and use them to interact with the environment. There's a platform up here you can't reach. That last guy, don't shoot him. Hit him with the hacking ability, and he lets you float.
So
you can float and reach the next landing.
So it's like a tank with Kirby abilities.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Now you're awesome. Speaking my language.
Yeah. And I was surprised because when I first started, I was like, oh, so it's just a side-scrolling shooter with a spaceship. Okay. And then it just kept changing. And I don't know if the game is going to make your creature evolve, your tank evolve into more things. But there was so much opportunity there. I was like, well, they could probably make you turn into a spaceship again later and then change you back into other things, like a car or something. And so I keep expecting it. I don't know what the done finished product is going to look like, but what I saw was it sold me.
And when can we expect this awesome Kirby shooting game?
They do not have a release date. Unfortunately, a lot of stuff I played did not have release dates.
Well, I guess you'll look forward to playing it again at the next PAX, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this looked very further along. I would think we're going to get it the end of this year, maybe the beginning of 2016 at the latest.
Yeah, cool. All right, one more. What do you got?
All right, so I'm going to save the most interesting game I played for last.
Ooh.
It is a cross between a board game, a card game, and a dungeon crawler. It's called Guild of Dungeoneering, and it's looks like a cartoon. Like everything is like very, you drew it on a piece of paper, like a graph paper, that everything looks like a piece of graph paper. The game begins, you're in an inn, you hire an adventurer to explore a dungeon for you. You do not control the adventurer. You control the dungeon he is in. So you hire him, you drop him in a dungeon, and you start out on a starting tile. And then the game shuffles and gives you five panels to pick from. Mm-hmm. And each one is a new floor tile for the dungeon. You place the floor tile. You can place loot. You can place monsters. And the AI character is directed by what you place. If you put a monster that's too hard for him to fight, he will go the opposite direction, away from the monster he knows he can't win. If you put a piece of loot where you want him to go, he will find the loot and lead his way to the loot. And every turn you get three more cards that you get shuffled into your hand, and it helps you add more stuff to the map. And the character just keeps moving. It was very unique. It's really hard to explain how cool this was, but it was just, it was very different from what I saw on the floor from it, just about everything else.
Yeah, it's kind of got a cool like doodle look to it, which is very neat. And it also looks okay. Do you have to play all of the cards in order to make the guy progress?
No, nope, you play three cards, and then the guy takes a turn. And then the monsters take a turn. And then you get to play three more cards, and then the hero takes another turn. And then the monsters take a turn, and now, vice versa.
What's to stop you from just putting in loot and then yay, I'm done? Or there's like challenges? Do you have
to? There's challenges. Progress? You have to defeat monsters because there is a boss to the dungeon. So the object is to eventually get your hero strong enough to beat the boss. Otherwise, he shows up and just stomps you in it. Game over.
It looks really cool. Do we know platforms? Just PC for now?
PC and Steam at the moment was all I know.
And I think it says, I'm just kind of quickly skimming the website, and I thought it said, a tablet release to follow. So PC and Mac first via Steam in mid-2015, and then a tablet afterwards. I could see playing this on a tablet. It looks very tablet-esque.
It was like one button click.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely see it on a tablet. And it didn't look like it was that graphic intensive, so.
No, it's a really cool art style, though. It's different. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I think it looks rad. Neat. Neat-o gang. Very cool.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing these with us, Lou. Like, they're,
no problem.
One thing that I think both Ryan and I struggle with a little bit is finding really cool, good indie titles. So do you want to just pimp the site you're writing for again?
Sure.
So everybody who's listening can go over there and find some of these titles.
Go to indie-love.com.
And are you just writing reviews over there? Are you writing articles?
I'm doing previews and I'm doing reviews right now and occasional articles. But there's about 8 or 9 of us writing over there. We've got content going up just about every day, I think. So
very cool. And I think, is that where James Iagovos is working as well?
He is now, I think, in charge. So.
Oh, I didn't think I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Well, he's the one that got me to write over there. So I'm pretty sure.
Very cool.
He's in charge. So
very cool.
Yeah, you posted a Darkest Dungeon review, which is a game that I picked up, and a lot of people have been playing, and that's a big indie happening right now. Like, you just reviewed that one, right? Or am I mistaken?
That was last week. I have 3 previews from PAX going up this weekend, and I should have a review of Tormentum going up later next week.
Hmm. So. Also, it looks like there was an article posted talking about that pregnancy game. There's a lot of indies ranging from everything
pregnancy
from
game.
Darkest
yes.
Dungeon to Pregnancy. So
I don't remember that one. Oh, was that the one that James got the codes for that we told him never ever to play that? Oh.
No. Opposite of that. I think the whole point is to have a
child?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh my god, is it something like Pregnancy Simulator? Because I know for a long time he was super obsessed with all the simulators, like Goat Simulator and Surgeon Simulator and Cow Simulator or whatever the hell. I don't even know.
It says
I've played some of those games and some of them are like, okay, I get why people like this, but they are not for me.
It says it's Pregnancy, an interactive short story. There's a little graphic here. Get informed. Pro-life info. Okay, no, I don't know what this is. Anyways, yeah, I don't know why we're talking about this
game.
That's
not the game, Ryan.
No.
You wandered into the wrong part of the
game. I did. I started reading an infographic that was going to lead us in a weird political hole.
Direction?
So,
yes.
Yeah, we won't go into that dark dungeon. But that's really cool. I enjoy your writing, Lou, and you're a big fan of indies, a big fan of point and clicks, so... That's a good yin-yang to James's hatred of point-and-clicks.
Yeah, so I think good. I'm going to be the point-and-click adventure guy, so.
Very cool. So if you'd like to show off your TGI pride, you can do so by heading over to /loot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torin Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to /loot.com and show off your podcast pride. That brings us to our listener feedback section. Ryan, do you want to tell our fancy listeners about this email?
Yeah, well, this is a holdover from last week. We have Tomb Raider. We didn't get any entries, but I was just thinking, off the top of my head, we would just throw it into the Twitch chat, and if they grab it, they grab it, right? Because otherwise it's going to sit in my inbox, right? So what do you think?
Oh, crap. I was not listening. a little, and then you're like, what do you think?
I have the puppies? The puppies. Yes, we will give the Tomb Raider code to puppies. No, I have a code here for Tomb Raider. We didn't get any emails from our call out for it last week, so I was thinking we just put it in the chat, and whoever wants it has it.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, go for it.
Or better yet, why don't we do this? Chat room, while we're wrapping up the show, tell us if you want the game. I'll pick someone randomly that wants the game. It's a Steam code, and we won't hold this up any longer, and we'll let Jocelyn read her emails or whatever she's doing. But no, killing Night Elves, probably.
Tanalot in the chat room is my go-to guy for all of our super... Or girl, actually. I'm not 100% sure. Who does all of the awesome Joss facts, Dills facts, and Garrett facts. And right. He just threw one into the chat room that was a Ryan fact. And it is Ryan runs screaming, I'll do it, towards anyone stung by a jellyfish.
Isn't that just peeing on people? I don't get it. Do I pee on people?
Totally random and totally hilarious. And I love them every single time Tanalot shows up. Makes my night.
The funny thing is that, like, Tanalot knows me so well. I do like saving people. You sickos. You thought, where did you think I was going with that? I like peeing on people?
I totally thought you were going somewhere
else. I like saving people. God, I can't win with you guys. But anyways, anyone in the chat room wants Tomb Raider. Don't tell me if you if you got stung by a jellyfish, because according to Tanalot, I would pee on you. So...
And on that note, I wanted to say thank you this week to our patron of the week, who is Manny. He's brand spanking new. So thank you very much for helping us and for supporting the Gamers Inn. You help make game night a thing. So if you would like to be a patron, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We've been having such a good time on Thursday nights. We played Heroes last night. We had a whole bunch of different patrons in. So yeah, it was a really, really, really great time. So if you want a chance to tell us what you want to watch on stream, or if you want to jump in and game with us, the best way to do that is by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn and throwing down some of your hard-earned cash. Mm-hmm. And I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer, Ryan's at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and let us know what you thought was the best thing at PAX East, you can do that by emailing info@gamersinpodcast.com. So, Lou, thank you so much for joining us this week. Is there anything else that you would like to pimp before we end the show?
Follow me on Twitter. I am at Busy Zombie Lord. I also do a show with Ryan called Zombies Ate My Podcast. And I just started a new show called Off the Cuff. It is a weird news, weird show, weird host. That's kind of our motto. So
weird, perfect. Weird web developer too.
Yes.
No.
So who are you doing that with?
I am doing that with my other co-host on Zombies Ate My Podcast, Bob.
Oh, I love Bob.
So, yeah.
Bob's rad. Bob's so rad. We haven't had him on the show in a long time. But no, that I can speak personally about Off the Cuff. I helped them put together their website, and I listened to a bunch of their episodes before they even got released. Episode 1 is up there now. It's got the crazy title of, let me pull this up, because it kind of describes the show so well, just the way that Lou set up these titles. Genetically modified mosquitoes make a teen OBGY. I don't even know what OBGYN is. So
that it is sounds... a gynecologist.
It's a gynecologist,
right?
Dude.
Is it really? Well, see, that's yes. Good. I shouldn't know that, right? So win for me. But hey, I don't have to know everything. But yeah, go check out offthecuffshow.com. Subscribe. They're on the good old iTunes as well.
Very, very cool. So, all right. So, Lou, thank you very much for joining us. I think that does it for us this week. So remember, tune in next week, Friday night at 8:30 Eastern. We are on Alpha Geek Radio. We are on twitch.tv. And if you can't make it live, then you can find us on iTunes. So thanks very much, guys. See you next week.